morning. We've got a morning conversation for you today, featuring a discussion recorded last week with the president of Northwest Missouri State University, Lance Tatum. I am Gavin McGough. Tatum spoke with me about challenges facing the university, from legislative impacts to enrollment, and we discussed priorities and strategy moving forward. Enjoy. President Tatum, welcome to Studio C. Thank you for joining us this morning.
Happy for the opportunity.
Oh, great. Well, we're happy to have you in. We've been thinking about, summertime here. Where is your headspace right now? What are you focused on?
Yeah, I think the summer is always a great time for us to take a moment, reflect on the past year, start building our objectives and plans for the new year. The board meeting, we have a board retreat in May that we've started to pull together so that the board can really hear and understand what the priorities as built out by not only the faculty senate, the staff council, our student government, but also our leadership team. We take kind of all of that collectively to the board to give them a sense of our next year's objectives and goals. And so we've done that. We're in the final stages of building our plan for the next year. We'll actually present that to the board in July for their review and acknowledgement of that. And so, you know, it's good to have some time in June to kind of get away from the daily hustle and bustle of things, to kind of regroup, rest a little bit. But then as we move into July, it really is beginning the process of getting ready for the return of students, the return of faculty, and kind of kicking things off in August.
With the budget was adopted in June, which is a big milestone. Unfortunately, it's going to have to be looked at again because Governor Kehoe cut $14 million in education funding, which has many thousands of dollars of impact here at Northwest.
Yeah, you know, I mean, I think we were all hoping for the very best. In January, the governor had invited each of the university presidents to Jeff City to meet with him. At that time, he was very open about the fact that he was only going to recommend a 1.5% increase to the core. That's not exactly what we wanted, but I think that, you know, looking forward, there's concern about the state's revenue totals going through 26 and then especially into 27. There are new laws related to tax cuts, and you know, the government money has finally kind of exhausted through the system. And so I think he's being really cautious about looking forward. However, through the session process in the spring, we were really pleased to see that the Senate had put the 1.5 back in for a 3. So it was 1.5 recommendation from the governor. The Senate Appropriations Committee had put in another 1.5. And so we felt really good at the 3%. We did what we thought was our due diligence in making sure that there was some stick to that, and felt pretty good about it until Monday, when the governor, you know, held true to his promise that he would only sign a 1.5% increase. So that's about $550,000 to Northwest that we will have to go back in and dig through not only our personnel, but also our operation budgets, our capital projects budgets, and we'll be able to find that. I'm not worried that we won't be able to make the adjustment. What I'm focused on is making sure that those adjustments are not going to have a negative impact on what we do here in serving students and supporting the people that work in Northwest.
Yeah, going forward, you know, there will be kind of other challenges for the university market just in terms of you know, keeping up with enrollment and smaller classes of graduating high schoolers. You know, this is all kind of a conversation in higher ed. So, you know, is it dispiriting to see the governor kind of back away from standing behind the university system?
Yeah, you know, I wouldn't say that he's not standing behind the university system. I think what he is very fiscally conservative. He is going to be mindful of what it takes to operate the state services. And, you know, there's a great article that came out this week in Forbes magazine. It was an op-ed piece. It was written by the executive director of ASCU, which is our national advocacy association, the American Association of State Colleges and Universities. So it serves really that regional university sector. And in the article, Chuck Welch, Dr. Welch, said that public regional universities really serve as the backbone of higher education in America. They are the access point and the affordability point for a lot of students, particularly lower socioeconomic students, as well as first-generation students, as well as local students. I think that, you know, in a state like Missouri, where you have a flagship that is very prominent in the state, and then you have a collection of regional universities scattered throughout the state, you've got a lot of higher ed business going on here. And population decreases, you know, we've been talking about the demographic cliff for the last 8 years. And, you know, each year we get a little closer and a little closer. But the other part of that conversation that doesn't get a lot of play is that in the next 5 to 6 years, there's going to be a little bit of an uptick back to not where we were 15, 20 years ago, but at least some idea that the market may have a little bit of a slight return. Now, what we have to do at Northwest is we have to be very focused and very deliberate in how we market our institution to a population of student that we term them as right fit students. You know, just getting bodies here is not necessarily going to be the answer to any enrollment challenges. And we've worked really hard with Dr. Hoyman and her group, Allison Hoffman, in admissions and in recruiting to form what we think is a very strong strategy about focusing on students who are within a 100-mile radius of Maryville. And that really has always been this university's most powerful student population. And so that's where we've been focusing. You know, we built last year these four priority themes for the university, and they really do guide what we talk about, what we plan, and how we look forward. The first is the enrollment growth and sustainability. So as you mentioned, the state is not going to give us all the money that we need to operate at a level that we feel like is necessary to serve our students. And so we're going to have to depend on getting students to the university. We also have to depend on keeping them at the university. So that right fit philosophy really is shaped around the idea that we don't want to just recruit students to the university and then have them stay a year or two and leave. We want them to stay here through the entirety of their degree program. The second part of that is the collegiate experience. When they get here, we're going to offer a incredibly efficient and effective degree program, right? You're going to graduate from Northwest with a degree that actually has meaning and status behind it. But while you're here, we want you to enjoy the time that you're here. We want to give you a chance to be involved in student organizations. We want you to be, if you're going to be in res life, you're going to live in the dorms, we want that to be a positive experience for our students. We want them to have some opportunity to connect and engage. We want students to feel like they belong here in Maryville. And so we're spending time on the collegiate experience and making sure that that's all it can be. You know, the people that work here, the people that go to school here, the people that support us through our donor base and our alumni base, they're very important to our success. You know, we are who we are because of the people that work at this institution and the graduates and the alumni that belong to this institution. And so we spend time making sure that we pay attention to them. And then our operations piece. I'm sure as you've walked around campus this summer, you have noticed that we have quite a bit of activity going on with steam pipes and water pipes and sewage pipes and HVAC systems and boilers and what have you. You know, we want to make sure that the institution is operating as well as it can so that we don't have disruptions that could cause people to have to go home or would cause them to not enjoy the experience of coming to work or going to school here.
You know, you talked a little bit about serving the labor force, you know, meeting the needs of those who are seeking an education that will put them to work.
Right.
There have also been some implications for higher ed in the reconciliation bill.
Yep.
At the legal level, you talked about those at the Board of Regents meeting. You know, they relate back to that kind of affordability and labor force puzzle. What have you been seeing in this legislation? I know it's been tweaked a couple times, but is there anything interesting in there?
Yeah, you know, I think that as the bill began getting discussed in the House, I think there were a lot of components of the bill that were concerning to higher education. You know, there were a couple of pieces in terms of how it impacted Pell. You know, the reduction of Pell overall is a concern for us because when you talk about students who are very Pell dependent, The amount of money they receive through Pell is going to have an impact on how much money they have to come out of pocket with. Add to that this idea of limiting the amount of money a student can borrow through the student loan program, then you really are talking about some gaps that some families are going to struggle to fill.
No, we don't tend to be serving wealthy students.
That's right. That's right. So, you know, and we have a lot of students who are coming to us who are coming off family farms. And so, you know, even how assets are determined in value with the new financial aid application process, that was last year's big bump, you know. So you received less money just because the assets on the farm were seen as a higher value. And so you had to really disclose more than perhaps you had to in the past. And so, you know, we are always very mindful of what's happening in Washington. I think as the bill moved through the Senate, a lot of those elements were removed. Another big concern we had was the idea that a university would be responsible for any unpaid student loan debt that a student would have. So if they defaulted on their loan, the bill suggested that, or at least a part of the bill suggested, that the university would be responsible for paying that back. I mean, that's not, you know, that was not something that we were encouraged by. That part has been removed. It was the college accountability risk. And so we were happy to see that did not make it through the Senate. There's still, you know, lots of work to be done on that bill. There's still going to be impact across higher education. My message when I went to Washington at the end of April and met with our congressional group was, you know, the types of things that are going on at the national level that are displeasing to the American people are not the types of things that we're dealing with in the Midwest and at Northwest Missouri State University. You know, we are deliberately trying to make sure that students have a chance to come to campus and to grow and to mature and to be exposed to things. But, you know, some of the rhetoric that has kind of surrounded higher education was impacting us. But wasn't directly tied to us. And so we spent a lot of time trying to educate our congressional group on what was happening in Maryville and that, you know, we were concerned about some of the parts of the bill that we thought would have a negative impact on us. And luckily, at least for the moment, those things have either modified or moved on.
Okay. A big part of that national conversation was international students.
Yep.
And, you know,
yep.
I don't think, you know, Northwest was ever a hotspot for controversial political activity,
right,
or anti-Semitism, but nevertheless, it seems like, you know, the college did lose some visas over that. So,
yeah, doubling. I mean, anytime you have a student who has traveled across great distance to pursue their education in another country, there's always cultural and geopolitical dynamics that can cause stress and anxiety. We spent some time in the early part of the spring trying to reassure our international students who were already on campus that, you know, they had entered the country legally. They had a visa that gave them standing to be here. And so for them, there wasn't concern. I think where we've probably seen impact internationally is for students who are seeking an F-1 visa to come to the United States and to pursue their education. Those interviews that occur at U.S. embassies across the world have slowed down, and they've slowed down for a variety of reasons. But slowing that process down then impacts when a student gets a visa or if they get a visa, and then that begins to impact who can actually come matriculate to the United States for their education. You know, our advocacy is that we're going to do it the right way. We're going to make sure that we adhere to the law and to the expectations. And so I've been in this business for over 30 years. I've dealt with international education for a long time. There is a cycle that kind of plays itself out. I mean, we have years where there's great openness and opportunity for international students, and then we have years where it closes down a little bit. So I feel secured in our strategy of international that will continue to work and see some opportunity. But we're going to diversify. That's been one of our strategies. Instead of being so heavily dependent on an educational level and a country, we've started looking to diversify into more undergraduate recruiting and then to not just focus strictly in India, to expand our reach into other areas. And it'll take some years to build that, but I think it'll be a benefit as we go forward.
Interesting. All right. We talked about, you know, lots of greater forces affecting the university, and some of them are challenges. But, you know, just thinking about that, you know, it's a proud campus here, even under construction. And we talked about kind of getting the right fit. What strengths really motivate you and ground you in this work and in moving forward?
Yeah, I think there are a couple of things that I always focus on. You know, the first thing are the people that work at Northwest. When we first arrived in Maryville, my wife Jill and I spent a lot of time talking about and thinking about, you know, what is it? What's the secret sauce that makes Northwest so special? When we interviewed for the position, we left here really impacted by the experience of the interview and the people that worked here. And so as we thought through this, you know, it really came to focus for us that, you know, there's a specialness that comes through this university because of the people that are affiliated and connected to the university. And that's not just those that work on campus, but it's Maryville as a whole. It's the people that we get to work with. It's the, you know, it's the faculty, it's the staff, it's the community. All of that drives me every day to try to push this university into a position where it will continue to see success. There was great success before I got here. They've done a great job in terms of building tradition and building a product that people can be proud of. And so we want to continue down that pathway. So the people here, that excites me. And so as we get ready to enter into the fall semester, you know, I tell everyone my life is not lived from January 1st to December 31st. It's lived from July, you know, August 1st to July 31st. and so my year is about to begin. And so there's a lot of excitement as we build into the arrival of students and the arrival of faculty back on campus. Our staff has been working hard over the summer to make sure that systems are going to be ready, the facilities are going to be ready. So, you know, I always talk about people. I think the other part that drives me is the mission of a regional comprehensive university. I went to a regional comprehensive university. It gave me an education and a platform to do the things that I wanted to do in my life. And so, you know, we provide a solid education here. We provide an incredible experience for students. We care about students here. You know, the passion that those that are affiliated with the university have for these students, you see it every day. You know, we'll go the extra mile for that student that is having difficulty. We will help grow up that student that is struggling a little bit with maturity or with understanding or with just the fears that come from leaving home for the first time, perhaps, or being away from your family. Our vice president for student affairs, Matt Baker, you know, always is encouraging about the fact that we've been doing this for over 120 years. We are good at what we do here in terms of how we grow students up. We will continue to provide those opportunities. So, you know, I think the traditions and the output here make me very proud to be associated with the institution. And, you know, and then the last part of this, it's just a great deal of fun being on a college campus. I mean, you can't fully describe the excitement that comes from seeing students arrive on move-in day or going to a Saturday football game on campus or participating in homecoming activities, graduations. I mean, it is always something that just keeps me fresh and keeps us trying to drive forward to do well for the university.
Yeah. And you know, on that people note, there's also, you know, the thinking about the 100-mile radius and how many people in the broader region just have the university as a grounding force for both identity, education, economic output. So certainly for our listening region, that is a space of power. I want to you know, just give a quick shout out at the end here. When you are meeting as a Board of Regents, when you are meeting with the Board of Regents this July, John Moore will have, you know, stepped down from that board. What's the process to fill his seat? And, yeah, what's your closing farewell to John here?
Right. Most who have been around me for the last 2 years know that the process of attracting me to this university and actually convincing me that this was a spot that we could grow and thrive was John Moore. I mean, John was at the epicenter of that process. You know, I leaned very heavily on John when I first arrived in terms of trying to make sure that, you know, I didn't step in a place that I didn't need to be in. And so John was very valuable in that process. He has been extremely valuable to the university during his tenure on the Board of Regents. We're going to miss John. John's got a passion for this place. He's got an acuity for business that has been very important to how we've been able to position ourselves. You know, we'll have to grow into and identify someone to kind of fill that void as we move forward. But yeah, John and I had a conversation in mid-June that he was convinced that he had done all that he could do, and that he thought it was time for someone else to be able to step in. He'd actually been serving out of term for over a year. And when I first arrived, he did offer to go ahead and to move on at that point. I asked him to stay and kind of help transition me into the role of president. So we're going to miss John. You know, I hope that he doesn't, that he's not a stranger to Maryville. I know that he's got plans for what he will do to fill the time that he used to fill with with our business. But we wish him all the best and very thankful for his participation.
All right. President Tatum, that's all I have for you today. Is there anything else you would like to add for us? Or any other campus news you want to push out during this summer season?
Yeah, no, I think that, you know, there is a lot to be excited about at Northwest. You know, we are starting to see some forward push on the student recruiting front. Last year, we partnered with a national marketing agency to really help us hone our approach to attracting prospective students through social media and through personalized engagement, that we're beginning to see some fruits of that labor. And I think that will continue. So I'm excited about the future as it pertains to the enrollment piece. I think it's going to be a fight, right? We're always going to have to be mindful. There won't be a day that we don't talk about enrollment and enrollment sustainability. But I feel good about where we're positioned. I'm going to introduce at the all-employee meeting this fall. We're going to launch a new strategic planning process. I spent the first year listening quite intently to what was happening here and what I needed to understand and to know. Last year, we had to make some decisions based upon things that came at us, not necessarily things that we were planning, but things that came at us. And so I think we're in a position now where we can launch in this next year a strategic planning process that really has more of my personality and my fingerprints on it. So I'm excited about that, and I hope the community will be excited about that. There's a process by which we will involve the campus community, the partnership we have with the city and the region to really help us focus in on those things that we want to put as a priority moving forward. You know, I'm excited about all the things that are fall. We got the Bearcat Marching Band that will come back on the campus, and that's always a very exciting time to start hearing those drums beating off in the distance as they begin to get themselves ready for the fall. Athletics certainly is a big part of that collegiate experience. We're excited about Coach John McMiniman in our football program and what he's bringing to the table. Coach Matt Keeley, who took over our men's basketball program last year, really came in late in the recruiting season. So he's had a full year to get himself into a position of attracting the type of student athlete that he is looking for. Baseball had great success last year. You know, you can go down the line in athletics. We're very proud of what's happening there. And it really does help to push the brand out. It's not the only piece of the brand that we depend on, but it is part of that that picture. And then the last thing that I'll talk about is just all the work that's going into making the time on campus for students enjoyable. We will continue to look at our Res Life programs and our dorms and what we need to do to bring those into a contemporary position for what students are looking for. We're really going to push this next year in academic program development and what we need to do to advance our service to the region. This is very, you know, very focused on agriculture in this part of the country, very focused on education. You know, we have a great computer science program. I really see us looking to expand into areas that are, you know, that will touch rural healthcare. I think there's opportunity for us there. And so I'm excited about what's going to happen. We've got a new academic structure now in place. We have deans, we have colleges. I'm excited about working with them in terms of recruiting, program development, fundraising. And then next year, this time probably in 26, we will be getting ready to launch a comprehensive campaign. And so that's something that we'll be getting ourselves ready for in this next year, and looking forward to that next year.
All right. Well, that's quite a bit to keep you busy this summer.
That's right.
That was Northwest Missouri State University President Lance Tatum chatting university projects and strategy. If you have a story idea or a news tip, email us at kxcv@nwmissouri.edu. I'm Gavin McGough. Thanks for tuning in.